You're listening to Two Chunks and a Hunk, movie musings for mostly everyone. Two Chunks and a Hunk. My name is Jordan Wonders, and this week I'm your hunk.
I'm Doge, and I sometimes envy the blissful ignorance of those less well-versed in their hunk.
And I'm Carter, and it's not that kind of chunk.
Yes.
Wonderful.
I feel a bit out of place. As in, both of you have said you are both hunk? How is this possible?
Surprise, it's two hunks and a chunk this week.
How do you explain yourself?
Because it's easy.
It's nautical.
It is nautical.
Oh!
It's nautical, it's radical. Tomorrow.
I love this for y'all.
24 hours from this exact moment of recording, Doge and I will be in the car, headed to Galveston.
Yes.
Ready to hop on a carnival cruise ship.
A beach vacation on the beautiful southern shore of this great country. No, we're not staying in Galveston. Galveston sucks.
We're
sorry
getting
if
on
you're
a
from
cruise
Galveston,
ship.
But Galveston sucks.
Galveston sucks. We're getting on a cruise ship in Galveston, leaving there as soon as possible.
Get me out of here.
Going on a cruise with some of our old roommates from Colegio, and it's going to be so much fun.
That's going to be
great
a blast,
time.
Man.
It's going to be
in
a great time.
Joy.
Cannot wait.
Tomorrow is also Jess's birthday, so it's like a little birthday.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Combination.
It's like a little birthday.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Happy birthday,
nice.
Jeff.
So is it birthday?
Yeah.
No, I can't wait. It's Doge's first cruise ever.
Never ever seen water before. So I can't wait to find out why everybody's so wild about this wet stuff.
It's gonna be a real boathead.
Yeah.
To catch my drift.
I got some Sperry's that I'm gonna wear, and a hat with an anchor on
one
it.
One of those fishing shirts that's got loops on the shoulders for some reason.
Uh-huh. It has a vent so that my sweaty back can breathe.
I need to make sure and get in some time for that shuffleboard. You know it'll be there.
Mm.
You got to play some shuffleboard.
I'll shuffle all over the board.
Putt putt on the top deck. I will be doing that.
That's amazing. Yes. What is the cruise line?
We went to a carnival. We went to a coffee shop that was like right next to a golf outfitters store, and Jess couldn't remember the word for putting green the other day. So she was like, oh, look, out in front of the store, they have a putt hole. I'm only calling it a putt hole from now on.
No, that's
a
putt very hole. Good. That's very good. Can you pull the flag out of the putt hole, please? Trying to line up my shot. That's so good.
Just lipped out of the rim of the putt hole.
Yeah, just absolutely spun right off the putt hole. Could have had it. Could have had it if the putthole was a
little
deeper.
I love the sound it makes as soon as it drops into the putthole.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. It's just getting balls in puttholes.
Some people say that's what the game of golf is all. Golf really begins once the ball enters the putthole.
I was going to say, speaking of putthole, but we're not yet in the movie.
No, we aren't.
No.
But we can be.
Super dump ready for you as soon as we get there.
We can be in the movie.
Let's do it then.
And the way we're going to do that is listen up. We are ending our 5 for 5.
What a wonderful series.
We're ending our series on, if we're being fair, we stacked the deck a little bit with this ending.
We absolutely stacked the deck.
We knew that we were going to end on a banger.
Ships, boats have decks.
Oh, nice. Full circle.
So I know that now.
Full circle.
Quite on theme.
It's really good. We stacked the deck. We wanted to end on a banger. We knew that this would be it. We are finishing with the classic 2014 film Matthew Vaughn directed. It's known as
Kingsman, the Secret Service.
And I'd love to talk about it because I want to know Carter's immediate super dump. But first, I must hear a synopsis.
This week's IMDb synopsis was written by Claudio Carvalho from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Mm. Agent Harry Galahad Hart, Colin Firth, from the Kingsman Secret Service, helps troublemaker Gary Eggsy Unwin Taron Egerton, who is the son of an agent that saved the lives of Harry and his team, sacrificing himself 17 years ago. Harry invites Eggsy to be a candidate to the vacancy of a new agent in the agency, and he is trained by Agent Merlin, Mark Strong, and competes with other candidates. Meanwhile, the Kingsmen investigate the industrialist Valentine, Samuel L. Jackson, an insane genius of technology who is plotting a deadly plan with his assistant Gazelle, Sophia Butella, to save the Earth from global warming, eliminating most of the population with a chip and saving only those that he has chosen.
Yeah, that about sums it up, doesn't it?
That's about Kingsman. About sums it up, isn't it? That's about how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to dissect, a lot to unpack with this movie. But Carter, kick us off. Kick us off with some negativity for once.
Yeah, I'll start us off, bruv. Start us off.
I'm going to talk like that for the whole episode. That'll be great.
I think
love it.
The part where he's like, man eyes, make if, man. That's my favorite part of the whole thing.
A beautiful thing about Kingsman is it is a love letter to our director's love for James Bond, specifically like British secret agents.
Sure.
Yeah.
What was unnecessary, because we do have in that world of actual James Bond, things like pussy galore, like names that are very blatantly crass. We did not need the Judd Apatow Swiss princess, Swedish princess saying, if you do this, I'll turn around for you. You know, like
we can do it. We can do it in the putthole.
I hated that about this movie, because everything else about it is great. Like, it's so funny, but this was like, why did it become, where's Ron Burgundy? Like, why did we do this?
Why is it like a raunch-com?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also don't care for it. I did read it as intentionally skewering the sexuality of the James Bond series.
But if you're going let Mike Myers, he's already done it. Like, he's already done all of Austin Powers. That's exactly what it is. It felt so, it's just because it was out of place. Unfortunately, there is a place for that in a certain kind of movie, but like, it was out of place here. But I just need to get that out of the way, because
I agree completely. That's also a super dump for me, because I think if we're intentionally skewering, like, don't just do the same thing. You know what I mean? It's like, don't do something offensive or super like disrespectful or objectifying. Be like, no, it's a joke, bro. You don't get it.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Well, I think the intention was that the joke is that it's butt stuff. And like, I think that's supposed to be what the joke is like, ha ha ha, it's butt stuff.
It is funny.
Yes.
I did laugh, but it just feels out of place in this movie. I don't feel like this has been that kind of movie up to
this
point.
And one of the other ways it feels out of place is because Matthew Vaughn has already made her the person who didn't give in. She had agency.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, we've already made this character someone who knows better and is like fighting. And we had to lock her up because she's one of these like royals or billionaires that was just not going to succumb to this pressure or give in. And then we just totally took it all away. Not that she needed to have all of that, because there's enough other characters in here.
Do they just imprison people who already know the plan, I guess?
That's what it sounds like, is that he wants to imprison people that
and then kill them later?
Well, my guess is anybody who he deems worthy, he's taken to the end of the world no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if they don't want to be there. That's what it seems like to me. And it's like, it's the just people to have that agree get to go to the party.
Yeah.
To have a movie that simultaneously has Roxy and this lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is kind of blind a little bit. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. But. So no, this is good. My super dump is adjacent, which is just, I don't know how to word it well, other than there are four female characters in this movie. Two of them are these like bad A spy, I've got swords for feet. And then one is Eggsy's mom, who's in a bad situation. One is the princess. And I guess my point is, my super dump is that the parts for the women are very small and mostly inconsequential in a way that I wish they weren't. If we're going to focus so much on how cool the women could be,
yeah,
let's crank it up.
I feel like the parts are mostly one note too, where it's like, you're the one who is in a bad situation. You're the one with swords for feet.
Yeah,
You're the one who's a spy. And it's like a
Gazelle is very cool.
Very cool.
Roxy is very cool. I just wish we had more from either of them. Like, why is Gazelle so sold out to this dude? Like, why does she not care about any of this stuff? You know? It just felt like... And don't get me wrong. If we're skewering James Bond, that would fit the
Gazelle
bill.
Is an excellent skewer of James, of like odd job type guys.
I just wish that maybe Roxy had a little more agency in this film.
I think the skewer would be more effective if it was done in a way similar to Knives Out, and which, by the way, Glass Onion is getting incredible reviews.
Yeah, is it? I had no doubts.
But then in a way similar to Knives Out, where it's like, we're kind of a little poking fun at the cozy mystery genre, but also doing a cozy mystery genre the best you've seen it in the last 20 years. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that is what Kingsman is doing.
I think so too, but it is much easier to point out like, oh, you didn't quite hit the mark with that skewer there. Or like, you know what I mean? Where it's like,
I just don't think it's fair to say that Kingsman is not doing what you just said, because I think Kingsman is definitely doing
that. I'm not saying that, but I think it is a weaker skewering. It is a weaker attempt at the same kind of thing. I think it doesn't succeed to the level that I think Knives Out does in terms of reinventing a genre we're super familiar with.
Yeah, that's a tough one to one for me, because when a genre is like 80% about spectacle,
sure,
how could you say that this isn't some of the best, most, do you know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It's not a one-to-one straight line from Knives Out to Kingsman and what they're both trying to do. I do think if we are looking at individual elements as like each of these is said skewer, then yeah, the women, it feels like if we're going to skewer it, let's skewer it by updating it.
By saying this is the way to actually do that
right,
better.
Right.
By let's have Gazelle be a sword-footed person, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But also a good character.
Yeah.
Also, way to just freaking... Sophia Boutella does everything for this movie. Did you read any of the trivia of her training and stuff?
Absolutely none.
She's phenomenal, first of all. It's worth looking at her biography. Before he died, Michael Jackson had seen her dance. She was a dancer first. Had seen her danced and was so impressed. Michael Jackson...
Yeah.
Was so impressed by her dancing that he said, I need you for my next tour.
Cool.
And obviously that doesn't work out, but she has all sorts of training in like different styles of fighting, and like the leaps and stuff outside of like her CGI'd legs. This is like all her. Like she's
so cool.
A phenomenal athlete. Anyways, but I'm glad we went ahead and skewered first. And that tends to happen on Two Chunks when we really like movies.
I think we've talked about
in our famous food metaphors, is like we all are going on our plate. We're going to get that salad out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say get the green beans out of here. I don't care about the green proteins. Get them out of here.
Maybe we get them proteins at the end.
Nobody roasts their broccoli right anyway. I'm just going to go ahead and eat all that real quick, and then we'll move on to the next.
Ooh, what is the right way to roast broccoli?
It needs to be black.
Yeah. It's got to be, I need it brown and crispy if you're going to roast a vegetable.
Don't give it enough time to soak up them juices, you know?
Let's enter our discussion proper here, which is, I think this movie was a victim of bad marketing.
Yes. This fell victim to the same curse of Disney's John Carter.
Right.
Where it was like, this is a pretty good movie, pretty decent movie. I'm talking about John Carter. Sure. I think Kingsman's more than decent. John Carter's a decent movie, but Disney did not know what to do with it, how to market it.
Yeah.
Like there's the little dog thing. Have you guys seen John Carter?
No.
Yeah.
There's the little, every time you look in the mirror, huh, Carter?
Every day.
There's like a little dog thing in there. It's like, man, you could like make that into like little plush toys.
Sure.
Kids would go nuts over that. And they did none of it.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Kingsman's the same way, where they don't know what to do with it. It's even clear watching the movie. Like you get to the end credits and there's that original song over the end after the post-credit scene of Eggsy in the bar. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is this? This is not this movie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But it's so clear they were trying to go for some like, this is raunchy, violent Hunger Games in their marketing. And they're like, see, you're going to love that.
I didn't think their marketing got raunchy or violent at all. And I thought
that's what the studio thought it was.
Oh.
The studio was like, this is raunchy, violent Hunger Games. So let's make the trailers look like it's a Hunger Games type of vibe.
Yeah. The trailers made me think that it was some Maze Runner young adult type stuff. And yeah. It is. And that's what I want to talk about. That's kind of the lens through which I will be viewing our discussion. I'm not going to force my lens on you guys, but like this movie is the books I read in elementary school grown up for me to watch as an adult. Yeah. I was obsessed with, there was a book series by a guy named Anthony Horowitz that was about a kid named Alex Rider who was like a teenage spy. Yep. It is yep. just this, dude.
This is that.
This is Alex Rider for adults and it's sick.
Alex Rider for big boys.
100%. Big boys. And I love it yeah. because here's the thing. All the magic of Harry Potter is fish out of water. I don't belong here. I'm an underdog. I'm at this school that I don't understand, but I'm secretly special because of who my parents are. Like,
and also secretly so rich.
That is this, dude.
Yeah.
That's all this yeah. is.
Absolutely.
And it works because it never winks and is like, we don't really think this is cool. Like from the beginning, it's just a young adult yeah. movie for old adults.
I think it recognizes the sort of latent power in that type of storytelling.
For sure.
In the very much like, let's do a monomyth. Let's do a Joseph Campbell hero with 1,000 faces. You know, let's be so blatant in what we're doing and our act breaks and our structure. And that's just, it's comfortable and cozy to fall back in.
Well, it's why.
It does it super well.
It's why Sorcerer's Stone, even though it's blatantly like a children's movie more so than any of the other Harry Potters, still holds up so well because there is something yeah. powerful as an audience getting to discover a brand new world at the same time as your character.
Yeah.
So watching Harry go, I don't know what any of this is. And they all talk to him and explain it.
He said, I don't know what any of this is.
Like getting everything explained to him. Doing the same thing in Kingsman where Eggsy is the only one who doesn't understand what is it,
what's all this then?
And it just works so well from an audience interest, like holding our yeah. interest standpoint.
Absolutely.
And immediately, which is tough to do with something that has very clear tastes of a million things you've seen before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So here's a question that I have, and you may not have your answer.
First of all, can I do something else really quick?
Yeah.
I think I found out why. Now, granted, this cost $80 million and it made $415 million worldwide. So it didn't do bad. It did well, yeah. very well in theaters. I think, so I was trying to find out, because sometimes you can find out like a release date, like things, if they're even close to each other, one thing gets out popularized if yeah. it was better. Like John Wick was the same year.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of our action energy went into Keanu rather than this, which that's not valid. Getting any kind of sure. excuse, but
no, it's a good point.
Deep dive. Go on.
Sort of like the Bugs Life of Ants kind of a thing.
Maybe, but these are both good. Ants is okay.
That's true. They're both good. So my question was just going to be, do the two of you have a moment in this movie or a scene in this movie that you were like, got it. I'm in. Okay, great. Because I started the movie hesitant and when I first watched it of being like, I'll watch it, but this kind of looks cheesy.
No, mine was really quick.
Yeah, mine was almost immediate.
Yeah, mine was when Gazelle cuts Lancelot in half.
Yes.
So same. That was the first moment.
Half of him slides off.
That yeah. was the moment that I was like, oh, this movie is not what I thought it was. But yeah, my click moment is Manners Maketh Man. That is the
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That is the moment that I was sure. like, oh, this is different than yeah. a lot of other movies.
We have Mark Hamill and Samuel L.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that is like our episodes 1 and 2 and 3 have already happened. So like there's no association yet. These two guys never shared a screen in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
But nobody's thinking about that, which yeah. is pretty hard to do. And that means we've set the stage well already.
I'm actually just thinking about that right now.
Yeah. One of the things that I love the most outside of just, so as soon as Lancelot gets cut in half, mm-hmm. Gazelle's next move is to make sure that there's no blood mm-hmm. shown. Like that, any of that, like little characterizations like that are so fun to me.
Agreed.
And so the fact that we also did that, which is also pretty James Bond in a way, except a little bit more nuanced. But yeah, it was. And here's the thing. When I am referring to James Bond, this love letter is not to Daniel Craig.
No, no way.
This is clearly classic to James Sean Bond. Connery. Yeah. And like everybody who came before, Pierce Brosnan even, like it is not, it is pre-reboot of that stuff.
Tree reboot for all to watch. I think, if I may.
Must council tree reboot.
I'm sure you both know
this.
Hey,
that was a really good tree beard.
It was a very good
tree beard. Thank you. I'm sure you both know this already, but if you don't, it would be very exciting to me. Do you know what Matthew Vaughn's decision for filming his action sequences was for this movie? Makes it so unique to watch.
I do.
No.
He had a philosophy for his action scenes, which was...
Oh, I do know this.
The focal point stays in the center of the screen.
Yeah.
So in
we podcast like that. That's why we do it like that.
Yeah.
I started here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And start talking head to the center.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
I just think as we follow a punch, we follow the fist. As we follow a gun, or as we follow a gunshot, we follow the gun. As we follow a knife, we follow the knife. Like, it's such a unique way to watch an action movie, and it's almost an effortless. It feels like a response to the shaky cam Jason Bourne era of action.
It does.
Where you can't tell what's happening ever. This feels like a total response to that of like, I will make sure you never are in doubt of exactly what is happening.
You can see exactly what happens.
You can just lock in on the center of the screen for the entire sequence and know everything that's happening.
There's a particularly impressive example of this that I'm sure we'll talk about later.
The hallway slide at the end?
No. A different one. I'm not sure that right now is the right time to talk about that though, because I want to make sure we have enough content to fill out the rest of the show.
Sure,
episode.
I know what you're talking about.
I think something that absolutely aids... what we love about how they shot this action and just the movie in general. So my super pump is, I think the SparkNotes version of what they were trying to do for Kingsman was choosing to cast, like we can have all the vision and everything that you want to do in terms of like something you've clearly seen before, but clearly different.
Yeah.
Is taking well-known British actor Colin Firth and making him an action star.
Yes.
Yeah.
Colin Firth is perfect for this.
Yeah.
He's wonderful.
I got to the end of it. And here's the thing. That island just north of continental Europe has given us millions of people that could have played this role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we found the one that made, like, I think he is even more than Egerton, which we'll talk about Egerton, obviously. Colin Firth is the heart of what we're trying to do with 100%. The Kingsman series.
100%.
Are you saying that Colin Firth is your super pump?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Colin Firth is also my super pump.
Yeah.
He is perfect.
Yeah, he's
and
really good.
He had so much fun and he took it. I mean, he takes all of his roles seriously, but he like worked out. Like he was like training for this because he obviously wanted to be a part of many of these like action sequences, the ones that, you know, he could pull off. But
yeah.
I think that's it. If it's a love letter to... So Daniel Craig as James Bond is a love letter to Ian Fleming. Mm-hmm. Colin Firth as Harry Hart is a love letter to Sean Connery as James Bond.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we took a guy who was not made to be intimidating. But Kingsman makes it different because we actually made him scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody's afraid of Sean Connery unless you like are trying to avoid his bed. Then you're like, okay.
Get away from me.
I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. But yeah, Colin Firth is perfect.
Yeah, I agree. I frequently think that Colin Firth is perfect for everything that he is in always. I just find him intensely charming and intensely likable. Like almost impossible to dislike. But most importantly for this movie, he has this... like earnestness to him that makes Harry feel very real in a cool way. Like Harry is both prim and proper and the scariest person in this movie at the same time.
Yeah.
It's because, and I'm realizing it now, I think Colin Firth as Harry. I think he wore one singular expression on his face the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's like, he's also kind of hardened by this job, having it forever.
Yeah.
It's but that he must keep that stiff upper, a stiff upper lip, you know?
Yeah, it's so good. But yeah, he's...
And we're going to give so good to that one of all the
it
ones.
It was great. It was great.
That's such got to be a hard one to try. And the only way to like clearly be Colin Firth is to be offensive and just stutter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, Colin Firth. British guy that doesn't speak too good.
Mm. No, Colin Firth makes this movie. Without him, it is half as good.
I agree completely.
And I love, and when we talk about some of the casting, by the way, I laughed like a machine gun.
You did. I was going to let it go, but that was weird.
I love how the world is totally fine with just assuming that Michael Caine needs to be a part of this story.
Yeah,
it's like,
for sure.
Yeah. We use him for everything and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. It's because, well, yes, of course. It has to be Sir Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Like he has to be here. So I do love that in a movie where everyone has these like night themed.
See, that's the thing though, is like Michael Caine, yes, has to be here. But there's so much in this movie that doesn't have to be here. That's awesome. And I recognize that the night stuff is present in the original comic that this is adaptation of.
Well, I'm just going to say he's an actual one, which is fun.
Yeah, that is true. It is, incidentally, that is why Mark Hamill was cast, because in the comic, the person they kidnap is Mark Hamill, the actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
So they cast him to be that role here.
That's fun.
But there's little things like Samuel L. Jackson, Valentine getting queasy at the sight of blood, his admittedly pretty inconsistent, but still interesting character choice of that list that he has. Yeah,
it comes and goes for sure.
The whole like King Arthur themed vibe of the Kingsman. Mm-hmm. There's so much that doesn't have to be in this movie that is
but
just
it's so sick.
Extra. It doesn't really move our story forward, but like the extra color, extra shading that we give this is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's movie seasoning, right? That's all this is.
Yeah.
Is like, if I serve you a boiled chicken breast, nobody's going to, or let me rephrase, if I serve a child a boiled chicken breast, nobody's going to send me to jail for starving a child. But there's so much flavor that you're missing out on. And I think when movies are able to add those things, the flavor, the things like sword feet. Nobody needs sword feet.
Yeah.
Nobody needs for the exploding of heads at the end of this movie to look like little fireworks with colored smoke and be really fun and interesting.
Great. That is so like, great.
You know what I mean, though? We don't need these things.
When that was happening, Jess had never seen this. She watched it with me last night. When that was happening, Jess was like, this is like incredibly violent, but in a very fun way.
That stylized violence, baby.
She was not at all into the raids.
Sure.
She was like, I cannot watch this with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was 100% dialed into this.
You don't really hurt when you're watching the game.
No.
Right, exactly.
Except for the one dude that gets his hand cut off at the wrist. For some reason, that really did it for me.
The wrist seems worse.
That really did it for me for some reason. I'd rather lose it at the elbow, I think. That was just too much. It's brutal. No,
I'd rather not lose it at all, actually.
I'm fine with it. I don't need it. I don't use it for anything. This movie is broken up into three distinct parts in a really fun way to me. And the beginning is sort of the, like, oh no, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm being introduced to this brand new world. Then you have the middle, which is the young adultiest part of the whole movie. The training. And like job application portion of the thing, which is just like every young adult thing has some sort of tryout or audition or train. Like, you know, I'm thinking of Katniss with the bow in Hunger Games where they're like, let's see what she can do. Or like
the sorting hat. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorting hat. Or like, I'm pretty sure in the Alex Rider one, he's always transferring to a new school at the beginning of every book and having to like prove that he can play soccer or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so this feels so young adult.
Yeah, it really does.
And then the ending is just like balls to the wall action in a really fun way.
One quibby about the ending.
Sure, quibby.
Is how...
Also, shout out Quibby, friend of the podcast.
Yeah. Is exactly... It's how completely Spy Kids 3D everything in space looks. Everything in space is some of the worst.
You talking about when Roxy gets up there to...
When Roxy goes to space, to the edge of the atmosphere, everything looks so bad. Looks like Spy Kids 3D. Whenever we've got that locked off close up of her face and she's falling and rotating, flipping head over heels.
Mm-hmm.
I think we shot that plate of our actor in like full light, not cycling light to simulate the shadows. So when our compositing team puts that in against the green screened background, they're also having to animate shadows over her face. And it doesn't, the light doesn't conform. Like you could see on my hat how it curves, the shadow curves.
Yeah.
Because my head is curved, but it's just a straight line that keeps cycling across her face. It is pretty rough compositing, pretty rough effects. And to top it off, I mean, the thing that was introduced as part of Reagan's Space Force program looks like it's made of Legos. So just all of it is like, man, this is Spy Kids.
Yeah, this is very Spy Kids. It's very Spy Kids.
Funny.
Do want to get in that suit though?
The Halo suit?
I don't want to go up. I just want to get in it.
It's like, you want to go up?
No, I just want to get in it for fun.
Yeah, never in my life.
How terrifying would that be?
Yeah,
no. That's thanks. Right up there. What is scarier to you? Middle of deep ocean or middle of deep space?
Both. Can I say both? Both are equally terrifying.
Don't they feel the same?
They're the same. They're the exact same. You're dead instantly, no matter what.
Yeah.
Space is scarier, I think, to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we were talking about Rings of Power and the fact that I was like waiting for a golden eagle to pick up Galadriel when she decided not to go into the...
When she was like, let me swim
to the
Grey Havens miles.
Into the west. Yep. And she just decided to start swimming.
Done. Well, dude,
in
the Silmarillion, doesn't she literally run across like 100-mile ice bridge to get home at one point?
I don't even know.
I'm pretty sure she does. She's just I'll get out of here. I've got some stuff that I'm pretty pumped to talk about in the back half of this episode, and I'm sure y'all do as well. So let's go ahead and head to Shout Announcements and just knock it out real quick.
We're jumping right in. We've been doing this recently, and I love the energy. Get ready for Chunktober. We have Don't Worry, Darling next week, and we are, as we've said before,
our favorite horror movie.
We are Worried, Darling.
I'm Worried, Darling.
And then we'll have Chunktober. We have our Creature Threecher. It's our third Chunktober, Chunktober 3. And we're going to be doing 5 creature films. Lots of body horror. Maybe the kids don't watch some of these with you. If you have kids, it could be
we're just trying to really alienate a lot of people with our extreme violence and the extreme body horror.
It really has been a graphic 3 months. But get ready for Chunktober to get scared with us.
If you want to do things with us besides just get scared, you can listen to bonus episodes with us or even chat with us. We have Patreon, and we think it's a great opportunity for you to get to know the three wizards behind the podcast curtain. We have a $3 tier, which gets you access to bonus episodes. Coming soon, Jordan and I will be watching Gigli because we did fail our Gigli examination that Carter presented us with.
I'm going to put that great episode to go back and listen to. I did that myself.
I've been putting off that bonus episode because I don't want to watch Gigli, but I feel like we should now that they're married. I wonder if they watch Gigli ever.
Every day.
What do you want to do at home tonight, babe? Let's watch Gigli. And then we have the $5 tier, Patreon. So just for $2 more a month, you get access to our exclusive Discord server. That's what it's called, right? Discord server. Where you can chat with us and you can send us memes.
Yeah.
If you want, as long as they do not have a minion in them. Yeah, that is true. You
season
also play
3,
box office
Doge
ball.
Had a pretty interesting pick here for season 3.
Doing how's that some working of that out re-release. For me?
Well.
Good.
Yeah, it's going well.
Do you have friends?
No.
Not you.
Yes. Oh.
You, the listener. Do you have friends? Any at all?
Besides us, we don't count.
We don't count. And this is the part where most people make the joke, and your mom doesn't count. Your mom definitely counts. Do you have friends?
Yeah.
Do you have a mom?
Have you told them about us? Have you
that's
sent
important.
Them our episodes?
Tell them.
If you have answered no to the back half of this questioning, what's wrong with you?
Strong.
With you. Here's the thing. If you want us to get bigger and better than ever before, we gotta reach even more people than ever before. And those are your friends. Yeah. I only want to talk to your friends now.
Yeah.
So
sorry about
run along. Send us to your friends. Let's go. Get us in front of some peepers. And that by that's eyes, not peepees.
Yeah.
But never. would never.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Doge, talk about it. You've been waiting on it. I've been waiting on it. We've all been waiting on it. Talk about it.
The fight at the church.
Yeah, the part where he kills all the Westboro Baptist people that aren't Westboro Baptist people.
That's my super pump. Them. That is one of the most like frenetic.
Dude.
Kinetic.
Yeah.
Diabetic. I don't know. I couldn't think of any other edic words. It is so intense.
It's filthy.
What incredible, incredible choreography.
I got some on me by the time it was done. I had to wipe it off.
What incredible choreography. That to me is the distillation of like, this is what we're trying to do with this movie. Yep. It's like these kinds of sequences, if it's a kolache, these kind of sequences are the wiener mm-hmm. and the bread is a old school James Bond spy thriller.
I am definitely not about to be a 34-year-old man.
Laughing at the word wiener.
Why do I need recovery time for that?
Wiener is undebatably the funniest word for such a funny word.
It's wiener, way out there.
Wiener is onomatopoeia.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the same way that like splat is, it's like, that sounds like what it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Wiener.
It's like the ancient language in Aragon where the elven words for things are just the essence that's of what they actually what are. Yeah. Wiener is a wiener.
Yeah. Actually, the Elvis word for wiener is
wiener. Just wiener. Yeah, no, it's the same. Ah, yes, a word I recognize in every language. Wiener. Anyway. Yeah,
that was my name.
Anywho.
At least a call, man.
Find a flaw in the church fight. Find a flaw. Point out one bad thing in the church fight.
It is so graphic.
What's the coolest really thing not. In the church fight? Point out the coolest, best thing in the
Colin
church
Firth.
Fight.
Colin Firth. But
well, yeah.
Is it, I don't know, the part where he runs out of ammo, takes his gun apart, and stabs a guy with it? Maybe. Is it the part where he kebabs a bunch of people? Maybe.
The part where he kebabs the preacher through the neck.
Oh,
Lord. Out the top of the head.
Could it perhaps just be that they said, how about Freebird real quick?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Can I be honest with you? This song belongs to this scene in my head now.
Wow.
That's how iconic this fight is for me.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. This feels like if there was one of those, like, the movies are back. But for big boys,
mm-hmm.
this is a scene that will go in that of, like, the movies are back and it's wilder than ever before.
Yeah.
And it's wilder.
Throw on your protective harness.
Yeah.
It's about to get crazy. Yeah, I just think that...
That's it. I mean, that's my super pump, though.
Sure.
I've never, like, The Raid is probably the closest I've come to seeing an action sequence that is
try
like
to live
this,
up to them.
And I think I like this better than every fight in the raids.
It is very cool. Like the way it all starts, his little like rant at the lady when she just yells and yells and yells. It's all, I don't know, man. It's a perfect action scene. It's a perfect action scene.
Absolutely perfect.
There's nothing wrong with it. And we get a lot of our center screen action here too. A lot of our like focus on the thing that's moving so that we can keep up with it.
It feels like we get more of it here than we do in the like fight at the snow base at the end.
Yeah, there's a shot where he slides and flips and shoots the gun laying upside down on the floor where our camera follows the angles that I think is like...
Yeah, that is very cool.
A perfect shot. But yeah, this church scene is like unmatched in my
unbelievable.
Opinion.
This is what when I think of the movie Kingsman, I think of it's the movie with this scene.
For sure.
It. Yeah.
I remember the first time I watched it, you already felt it was coming, right? Like you already knew.
We were building to something.
This was going to be it. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I honestly, it speaks to how cool this movie is that we're this far into our discussion and really only now beginning to talk about Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
Who is...
What a good cast.
Fantastic,
what an inspired,
dude.
Inspired role. Because Homie was not a big deal yet.
No. And still
is kind. I mean,
and still
maybe.
Is not really.
Yeah, with the Oscar nomination was a big deal for him. But
for Rocket Man.
Yeah, when you know, when Rami Malek wins the year before for
yeah. Like, well, let's nominate Elton. We'll nominate Austin Butler later for Elvis.
Yeah, sure.
If you play Julia Garner, will get a nomination for Madonna. If you play a singer, you're gonna get a nod.
Yeah, Austin might win that. By the way,
could be. I just think that Taron Egerton is so uniquely likable.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I just find myself instantly on his side in everything I watch him in. I'm like, oh yeah.
are we in on him for Wolverine? If they choose like that. Young.
Sure. Like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty much in on him for anything. We're a couple episodes into Blackbird on Apple TV.
Oh, how is it?
Great. And the two we've seen are good. He is great.
Cool.
So we haven't really gotten to the meat of it. We kind of fell off because some other stuff came out that we wanted to watch. We need to get back into it. But yeah, I don't know. I love him, and I think that especially he shines the brightest in this movie to me during the middle, the training stuff, and when he's upset after Harry's death. That's when he is shining the brightest in this movie for me. The skydiving scene and killing the dog specifically are so good. Such good scenes. Dude,
yeah. A skydiving action sequence guaranteed to put me on the edge of my seat.
100%.
Yeah.
It's so intense.
The skydiving, like when they fall out of the plane in Iron Man 3, that skydiving sequence, like the skydiving
when the
sequence
suit is like building itself on Tony the whole time.
Yeah.
The J.J. Abrams Star Trek, that skydiving sequence.
Yeah,
and that,
dude.
Any skydiving sequence, I'm like 100% in because
when Tyrese
so
is
afraid
in
of
car
height.
And he's
exactly.
just falling.
Well, that's skydiving. That's different.
That's true.
Watch Mission Impossible. Oh my God, please watch Mission Impossible. Oh
see,
my God,
I don't watch
amazing.
Movies unless we're going to talk about them on the podcast.
Shut up.
I just don't you're see gonna, us.
I can't
about
wait,
those.
Dude. When you watch Mission Impossible, you're going to be like, I knew I would like it, but dang. It's so good. Yes, dude, skydiving is an instant. Like my butthole is in my throat and I'm just so scared the whole time.
Got me again, dude.
Yep.
Got me again. What was almost my super pump was, especially if it's supposed to be an homage to all the best things about classic Bond, our gadgets were wonderful.
Ooh,
gadgets
weren't they?
Were so gadgets and good. Vehicles were so good.
And having Merlin be the Q, basically.
Yes. Also, yes, we haven't talked about Mark Strong yet.
Mark Strong is so good. Mark Strong is so I'm good, never dude. Sad to see Mark
no.
Strong, but yeah. holy never moly, bad. I love Mark Strong in this.
Never bad. He's someone where it's like, I would want to watch his anthology of commercial voiceovers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I'll take any Mark Strong.
Sure. Any Mark Strong I can get is not enough Mark Strong.
Solid.
He was actually a pretty fantastic Sinestro as well.
He really was. He was really so good.
I really just think that he, man, this movie is full of people that I am always like, always good, always good.
Yep.
Always good.
Yep.
Never bad. Always good. Like they just nailed this. They absolutely nailed this. And the bully in the training, he's insufferable in all the right ways. Like you just hate him, but you hate him for all the right reasons.
Yep.
The train scene, dude. I don't know, man. I really think that in the realm of action movies, this does not get talked about enough because there is so much that it does so well.
I think the young adultiness of the middle hurts its reputation.
But it's cool, but it works.
I think it's cool and it works because of what we were into.
That's probably right. If you weren't into that type of story as a kid.
If you were not into young adulty stuff ever, then I don't know how well this, I think the middle part might lose people.
Yeah, that's valid. Yeah, if you don't care about only one of you is going to make it to the end, like if that doesn't interest you. But I even love all the twists of like, they intentionally have set it up to look like all of these people are in huge danger, including the dogs, including the, and then the reveal at the end of
parachute.
Who do you think we are, man? We're the good guys. We're just testing you. Just pass the test, dude. It's so good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every time I watch this movie, I fall a little more in love with it, I think. I really enjoy it.
The thing, the young adulty, I don't know, man. Like the young adulty, like the parachute test where it's like, I'm going to tell you one of your parachutes is out to
see
who waits to pull theirs last because they're going to assume that they have the one that, because they're going to make sure everybody else is safe first.
Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker. So I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I recognize that that is like a shortcut to get me to like something.
Yeah.
Because of how like tropey that is.
Well, Taron,
but it's so
Eggsy
good.
Was it? a Mary Sue character. Like, he's very much like, he's good at everything. He's the best fighter. He's a perfect shot with a gun. He was in the Marines. He was a gymnast when he was a kid. And also, he's the nice one who's going to make sure everybody's safe. Like, he's a total golden boy. And the only thing he does wrong, the reason he doesn't get to go, is because he doesn't murder a dog.
It's because he loves his dog too much.
Dude, so he's a total Mary Sue character. But
also, that's my only
him.
Flaw as well. So that's probably why I like it.
Sure. I don't know. I just think that this is great. Hey, should we pick our fighter?
Oh, yeah. We should.
I don't know that there's any need to deliberate, but should we 1, 2, 3 it?
I think there is, because I think I'm going
to
have something.
I think I have two options for this movie, and I don't know who to choose.
Interesting. 1, 2, 3 Harry.
Gazelle.
Those were my options.
Yeah, those are who anybody would be stuck between.
Yeah, okay. So I'm the tiebreaker then. Jordan, if you say Harry, Carter, you say Gazelle. Argue your case before the bench.
Gazelle is more interesting to have in our current lineup.
Our current lineup being?
Well, she would be our second amputee also.
That's why I like Gazelle. First of all, Gazelle is super interesting and... You kind of had to use Game Shark to beat her.
Yeah,
but it's like,
the scene of them flying through the air and they're like, we're going to use our foot knives on each other is so cool.
It's very good. Yes. Knowing that there's a scenario with our five for fighting that we've chosen where slews of able-bodied men could have their ass kicked by three arms and two legs.
Shared between two people.
Yes. Yep. All right.
Makes
I'm sold.
It's Gazelle.
Get out of here, Harry. Yeah.
It's Gazelle.
Happy.
I'm in
it's
on Gazelle. Because Gazelle is super unique to this movie, too.
Yeah.
Because we've seen good punching, good shooting, super spy.
She's
before.
All kicks, baby.
I've never seen sword legs before.
Well, so we wanted to, and as far as I could tell, because one of my favorite things about those classic James Bonds was the villain that had just the, like, what?
Right.
Like, why is Jaws... I guess he's got quite the bite.
Right.
Like as if normal people don't, but he's got more because he's got metal teeth.
Right. The cronk of them. It's like not the main villain, but
throwing a hat that could cut your head off, like all that kind of stuff. We knew, like they knew when they wrote Gazelle that she was good enough to hold that weight
for
by
sure.
herself.
For sure.
We had to have 12 secret agents, but we had one henchman.
Yeah.
And it's because she was perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everything about
her.
Dude,
she's so cool, man. That's an easy
she's
win.
So freaking
Gazelle.
Cool.
Put Gazelle in the lineup.
And somehow they created legs like that felt believable.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I'm surprised no more people aren't doing this.
And I think it's
literally impossible.
I think it is poignant. Perhaps that's too strong of a word for a movie as goofy and fun as this, but poignant that I mean, we beat our big bad by javelin throwing one of Gazelle's legs.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And then he pukes at the side of his own blood, which is hilarious.
That is excellent. Which is excellent.
When this movie's funny, it's really, really funny.
Yes.
I don't know. It's this movie's a slam dunk. So what's our final lineup? Who are the five for fighting?
Our five for fighting are from RRR. We have Ram Raju.
Of course.
From Mad Max Fury Road, we have Furiosa.
Naturally.
From the Raids, we have Mad Dog. From Ip Man, we have Jin, who was our little bit more
axe.
Like a barbaric type. Yeah, great,
Mr.
great personality.
Hatchet.
And then to round it all out with a roundhouse blade kick, we have Gazelle.
What
that
a
is,
powerful group of individuals.
I am. What do you do?
Barring
like if they're all
superpowers,
barreling towards you,
barring superpowers,
do you
I don't know what team is beating this team.
No.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Hey, dude, you know who it is? And get ready because you're going to bust up. Chuck Norris could fight him.
Oh, my gosh.
So I never got into
it's
Walker
there,
Texas
the whole
Ranger.
Time.
I was never a big Chuck Norris person. So the Chuck Norris jokes got so old to me so fast. Like even as a kid, I remember being like, I get it. No, I get it.
I wore them out.
Sure.
Yeah, I thought they were
I
so
was
good.
Writing my own.
Loved Walker Texas Ranger.
Yeah. Wow. Powerful. What a phenomenal crew. I think for sure, like I'm trying to develop action sequences in my head with these five.
I mean, Furiosa is definitely putting one of the legs on her arm, right?
Ooh.
And going to have a sword arm.
Ooh. Have mercy.
See, here's what I'm thinking is that this crew is rolling up on the war rig.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Ramaraju definitely does one of his grenade shots.
Yeah.
That's the
And there had been an argument beforehand on who we should target. And Furiosa makes her decision anyway by shooting it out of the sky and actually taking out someone that he couldn't see.
Yeah.
Bro, there's just so much.
I can see the scene in my head right now of Mad Dog, Gazelle, and Jin from Ip Man all just running forward at the same time to go do some hand-to-hand, foot-to-hand situations.
Dude, unbelievable.
Get a little what Avengers run, a three-way run.
This is the Suicide Squad that I would like
to see. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Give me these guys.
Yeah, big time.
I would love it. Ram Raju is the only main character we chose.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
I mean, Furiosa is kind of the main character of Mad Max, I guess.
Yeah, I think we knew he would be on that leadership side.
Yeah, yeah. They need a Captain America style hero to rally around, and that is Ram Raju of the forest for sure.
Yeah, he's so cool.
He's so cool. I want to rewatch RRR.
There are many Hollywood films. RRR is doing some wonderful things for theatrical release. Of new like Bollywood flicks, like there's stuff.
It looks like they just put the Hindi version on Netflix.
Oh, did they? Really?
I saw something that said original Hindi on Netflix, which makes me wonder if it's the OG voice acting.
Huh.
That's what I would hope.
I don't think it was originally in Hindi, though.
Was it not?
No, it was in Tamil.
Oh, well, then maybe it's the version we watched then, where it's. The two main actors doing their Hindi voiceovers.
Doing lines in Hindi. Yeah, yeah.
That could be what it is.
Sophia Boutella, it's got to be Taya. I'm so awful with phonetics. She is in Atomic Blonde and it makes me want to watch that.
Ooh.
I've heard good things about that movie.
I have too. From Discord, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, and John Goodman and James McAvoy. Well, what have I been doing my whole life? And Bill Skarsgård. What am I doing, dude?
What are you doing? Why are we podcasting and not watching that movie?
Oh, I'm so disappointed in me.
Y'all want to finish out this episode? Finish out. Let's do it. Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Sure.
Let's hope it's not a bang for you
after this podcast, Doge.
Let's rate this movie.
Could be a whimper. Could be both.
Could be both.
We're going to use the scientific cinema scale, which is, of course, perfect. And as follows, the best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last, but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I'll go. Kingsman, the Secret Service is surprisingly a rent for me.
Wow.
And here's why. This is the second time I've seen this movie. And I think the shine came off a little bit for this watch. And I'm wondering if what made the first watch so shiny was being taken completely by surprise. And that could be 100% my fault of like I watched it once right after it came out and then have hyped it up in my mind all these years. And so it was impossible to live up to the perfect version of this movie that exists only in my mind. But the shine came off a little bit. And so I think I'm going to rent it. With the stipulation that this is the perfect movie to watch with someone else for the first time. This is a great let me show you this movie kind of movie.
Yeah. It is a big old buy for me. I love this story. It made me want to. This is the only one of the series that I've seen. And anything that like makes me want to immediately be like, I looked at Chelsea. We had ended our watch at like 10:30 p.m. on a weeknight. And something in my brain thought she would be down.
You're trying to watch
Golden Circle right there and then. There's the moments where I'm like, right, but we're grown-ups now.
We can do
whatever
we want.
There's so many things that happen that I couldn't wait until I was grown up and independent to be able to stay up and eat all I wanted and never go to bed. And then I finally get there and I'm like, yeah, but that's tough. I wanted to just immediately watch this other stuff. But Kingsman, big bye.
Yeah, I've seen the second one. I've seen the Golden Circle. Or Golden, what is it?
Golden Circle.
Yeah, right. It is.
How's it hold up to this?
Okay. It's not as good.
Oh, man.
It's okay.
A bummer.
It misses some of what makes this great. It does have some really good sequences in it. It's worth a watch, I think. It's still fun.
I'm very interested in seeing The King's Man, the prequel that came out.
Yeah, I've heard that one's pretty good.
Same.
I just think it's hard to capture this magic again. Look, all of our ratings, the way they happen tends to be a mixture of the way we feel about the movie and a reflection of kind of just where we're at the time as well. Yeah. You know, that's how it goes. That's why we don't like use a number system, because this is better.
Yeah.
It can be subjective in a fun way.
And it should be subjective.
This movie is all the kind of stuff that I want to see more of. Like creative, fun, energetic.
Confident
in what it's doing. Yeah. So I'm buying the poster for Kingsman, the Secret Service.
Cool.
This is consistently, I think about this movie a lot. I reference this movie a lot in regards to great action. I think this movie deserves to be a part of the conversation of 21st century action greats. And when I say greats, I mean like the best that is out there. I think this is up there with some of the best that is out there. I just really love it. I think it's a great movie. And I'm super glad we finished with this one.
Yeah, this was a good one. Great series overall.
Such a good series, dude.
Such a good series.
I was not bored for a moment.
Mm-mm. No. Y'all, we just got followed on Instagram by Brisvo Social, which is Brisbane's premier voiceover talent.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
All in one place. They must, my phone's clearly listening.
Wow.
Yeah.
They heard
because
the accent.
How talented we are. Get a new gig.
Yeah. Because of how talented we are at Australian voiceovers.
Wait, say it again.
Because, hello, Brisbane. It's me, Doge, and I'm here. I'm your new voiceover professional.
Hello, ain't it, Governor?
I saw you take the breath in, and that still shocked me to my core.
Oi!
Yeah, that's good.
Fish and chips, you know what?
Oh, they unfollowed us. Oh, no.
I'm totally down. I know we're doing the Fable reboot. I want to be the person in every town that says, chicken chaser. You chase chicken.
You chase chicken.
Chicken chaser.
You chase chicken.
Hooray. Yeah.
You guys hear my dog having a meltdown?
Oh, babes. No. Oh, babes, you want to go for a chat? I think he's proper fit.
Yeah, he's my type on paper.
Hey, boys, do you think we
my
should...
type on paper.
You think we should, it's Michael Caine now. Do you think we should end this episode?
Doge needs this episode to end so
bad.
I've
been watching Love Island USA on Peacock. Mm-hmm. And since the beginning, I'm behind. It's over already, but we're still watching and catching up. Zeta and Timmy until I die. That's all I'm going to say. The best. From the moment the show started, they were my two favorites and I love them both.
There's a reason a Brit is on that.
They're
first
better,
camp,
dude.
Because you, they're yeah, because you have to have the, you have to have the crossover. For
and
sure.
She's everybody's favorite in the house anyway. It's the best show. Anyway. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our names and what our nickname would be if we were in the Kingsman.
Do we need to pick a knight of the round table?
I want you to pick whatever your heart says. Merlin wasn't a knight, you know?
I like
it's knight. It's round table adjacent, baby.
Sure.
Easy peasy.
Same.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You think I can't just pull 10 round table adjacent names?
No, I know you can think of a
right
name.
Now.
I know you can think of a name. I'm saying, is it you? You know what I mean?
It is.
For Two Chunks and a Hunk, my name is Jordan Wonders, and I would be Sir Kevin, cousin of Sir Percival, twice removed on his mother's side.
Wonderful.
Wow.
But that's my full title.
Sir Kevin Costner.
Sir Kevin Costner. the famous Knight of the Round Table, Robin of Hood.
I'm Doge, but you know me as Le Fay. Mm. I was fast friends with Arthur when we were children, but eventually betrayed him and started a rival spy group that works to foil the Kingsmen at every turn.
I'm Carter. And I am known as Sir Magdalene.
Why?
That's it.
Huh? Why?
I think you know why.
Idiot.
That's a good point.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.